Hi everyone, I'm Rashmi, a second year PhD student at UC Berkeley. Today I will talk about certain network challenges that arise when employing erasure codes in data centers and our proposed solution for the same. This is a joint work with my collaborators Nihasha and Professor Kanan Ramchandran from UC Berkeley and Dikang Gu, Hairang Kuang and Dhruba Botakur from Facebook. I'll start with a gentle introduction about erasure codes in data centers and the storage savings that they bring about. Then I will focus on a particular aspect, that of increased amount of download and disk I/O that is required during data recovery. I will corroborate this with measurements that we performed on the Facebook warehouse cluster in production. Then I will propose an alternative to the currently employed erasure codes, which we call piggybacked RS codes, which require the same amount of storage overhead and fault tolerance as the currently employed codes, whereas reducing the amount of download and I/O that is required during recovery by 30%. As we all know, data centers face frequent unavailability events due to various reasons. Hence, data needs to be stored in a redundant fashion in order to guarantee reliability and availability. A most popular approach of introducing redundancy is through replication. That is, multiple copies of the data are stored across different machines across the cluster. For example, GFS and HDFS in their default configuration store three replicas of all the data. The figure presents a two replicated system with A and B as the data blocks. Typically, these multiple copies of the data are also stored on machines on different racks in order to tolerate rack failures, which is a common failure domain in data centers. For moderately sized data, storage is cheap, hence replication is a viable option. However, when the amount of data to be stored is at the scale of multiple tens of petabytes, the aggregate cost of storage is significant, and replication, which requires data to be stored in multiple copies, turns out to be expensive. An alternative to replication is to use erasure codes. The figure depicts a two replicated system and an example of Reed-Solomon codes, which is one of the most popular erasure codes employed in practice. Instead of storing multiple copies of the data blocks A and B, an erasure coded system stores single copy of the data along with the parity blocks. Here you can assume these computations as performed on corresponding bytes in the data blocks to obtain corresponding bytes in the parity blocks. Observe that both of these systems have same amount of storage overhead, that is 2x. The two replicated system can tolerate any single failure because whenever a block fails, we have another copy of it. However, there are two failures which it cannot tolerate. For example, if the first two blocks fail, then A is lost. On the other hand, the Reed-Solomon coded system can tolerate any two failures. For instance, if the first two blocks fail, then we can recover both A and B by decoding the two parity blocks. In general, it is well known that erasure coded storage systems provide orders of magnitude higher mean time to data loss with much lesser storage overhead. Facebook warehouse cluster currently employs Reed-Solomon codes instead of three replication on less frequently accessed data, and this has saved multiple petabytes in the cluster. A bit of notation, Reed-Solomon codes are associated with two parameters, number of data blocks and number of parity blocks. In the example that we saw before, we had two data blocks and two parity blocks. Corresponding bytes in the data blocks are encoded using the Reed-Solomon code to obtain the corresponding bytes in the parity blocks. The data blocks and the corresponding parity blocks constitute what we call a stripe, and a Reed-Solomon code can tolerate any number of block failures less than the number of parity blocks in the stripe. Facebook warehouse cluster employs a Reed-Solomon code which has 10 data blocks and 4 parity blocks. Reed-Solomon codes are the most popular codes, erasure codes employed in practice. This is mainly due to two reasons. Firstly, they provide the maximum amount of fault tolerance for a given amount of storage overhead. Secondly, they support any number of data blocks and any number of parity blocks. However, they require an increased amount of download and a disk I/O during data recovery. Let's see why. In a replicated system, when a block fails, we can recover it by reading and transferring from its other replica. So the amount of data read and downloaded is equal to the amount of data that is recovered. However, there is no such replica in the erasure-coded system. So in this example, we have to read data from any two blocks, say blocks 2 and 3, and decode the desired data. Here, the amount of data read and downloaded is twice the amount of data that we want to recover. In general, the amount of data that needs to be read and downloaded is equal to the number of data blocks times the amount of data that we want to recover. Typically, in data centers, the data blocks and the parity blocks belonging to a stripe are stored on machines across different racks in order to tolerate rack failures, since rack failures is a common failure domain. So the increased amount of download during recovery will have to flow through the top of rack switches and other higher level switches. This is of concern because in a typical data centers, top of rack switch and the higher level switches are heavily oversubscribed. Now I'll move on to present measurements that we performed on the Facebook warehouse cluster in production. First, a brief description of the system. This is a HDFS cluster storing multiple tens of petabytes on multiple thousands of nodes. Data stored is immutable until it is deleted. At this scale, reducing the storage requirements is of high importance. And for this, the cluster employs a Reed-Solomon code with 10 data blocks and 4 parity blocks on data that is not accessed for more than 3 months. This cluster has more than multiple petabytes of RS encoded data. Files are divided into blocks of 256 megabytes and grouped into 10 blocks each. And corresponding bytes from the data blocks are encoded using the RS code to generate corresponding bytes in the parity blocks. First, I'll present a simple study that we performed on the unavailability events based on the HDFS name node logs for a period of around a month and shown in an aggregated manner in this plot. HDFS name node logs an unavailability event whenever it doesn't receive a heartbeat from a machine for more than 15 minutes. So we observed that the line is not shown here, but we observed that a median of 50 machine unavailability events were observed per day. So the blocks in these machines which are not responsive are marked as unavailable by the name node, and a periodic recovery process takes this list as input and schedules the recovery process. We collected a metric related to the number of blocks missing in a stripe among the stripes which have at least one block missing. This is based on data collected for around 6 months. We observed that 98% of the stripes which have blocks missing have just a single block missing. 1.87% of them have two blocks missing, and a very small number of stripes have more than two blocks missing. Hence, single block recovery in a stripe is by far the dominant scenario. Now I'll present measurements regarding the number of block recoveries and the amount of cross-rack transfers based on the data that we collected for around 24 days. The dashed red line presents the number of RS-encoded HDFS block recoveries, and the corresponding axis is on the right side. We observed that a median of 95,500 HDFS RS-encoded HDFS block recoveries per day. The solid blue line shows the amount of data transferred across the racks just for recovering RS-encoded blocks. We observed that a median of around 180 terabytes of data being transferred across racks for the recovery purposes. This is around 5 times what would have been the case if this data were to be three-way replicated. This is of concern, and this is one of the reasons why Reed-Solomon coding is not aggressively being employed on more larger portions of the data. Now I'll move on to our proposed alternative to the Reed-Solomon codes, which we call piggybacked Reed-Solomon codes. These codes maintain the same storage overhead and fault tolerance as RS codes, while reducing the amount of download and I/O required during single block recoveries by 30%. Let's start with a toy example consisting of 2 data blocks and 2 parity blocks. First, we start with the Reed-Solomon code of the same parameters. And this is the same Reed-Solomon code that we have been seeing in the previous slides. Only 2 bytes of the blocks are shown here for simplicity. Similar operations are performed on pair of bytes in the blocks. Recall that in this code, in order to recover a block, we need to read data from any 2 blocks, say blocks 2 and 3, and then decode the desired data. So here we need to read and download 4 bytes in order to recover the 2 bytes. As a step two, we add A1 from the first stripe as a piggyback onto the second parity of the second stripe, and we call this process piggybacking. Note that piggybacking doesn't require any additional storage. Now I will show how this piggybacked RS code has the same fault tolerance as the RS code that we started with. That is, it can tolerate any 2 block failures. For example, consider the first 2 blocks failing. Observe that the first stripe is free of piggybacking and hence is identical to the RS code. So using these 2, we can recover A1 and A2. Now, having recovered A1, we can subtract out the piggyback that we added in the second stripe. And now this is identical to the RS code. And hence, using these 2 bytes, we can recover B1 and B2. The same argument holds for failure of any 2 other blocks. So no storage overhead, same fault tolerance. Now let's see how this piggybacking helps in reducing download and I/O during recovery. Suppose we want to recover block 1. In this example, we can recover it by downloading these 3 bytes. First, we subtract B2 from the second byte to recover B1. Having recovered B1, now we have B1 and B2, and hence we can subtract out this part to recover A1. So we can recover the first block by downloading and reading just 3 bytes instead of 4 bytes as in the RS code. So the general recipe for construction of piggyback codes follows along the same lines. So we start with an RS code with the same parameters and add carefully designed functions from one stripe onto the other. And this piggybacking process does not require any additional storage and retains the fault tolerance. And the piggybacking functions are designed such that they reduce the amount of download and I/O during single block recoveries. We have more general theory and algorithms on this and will be presented in this year's ISIT. We propose 10-4 piggybacked RS codes as an alternative to the 10-4 RS codes which are currently being employed in HDFS. 10-4 piggybacked RS codes follow the same lines as we saw in the toy example. We start with the 10-4 RS code, and 2 bytes stripes are shown here. These are the data blocks, these are the parity blocks. F1 to F4 are the parity functions of this Reed-Solomon code, which basically takes 10 data bytes as input and gives out the parity byte as output. Next, we add piggybacks from the first stripe onto the last 3 parities of the second stripe. And note that we have used the 4th parity function of the Reed-Solomon code as in the design of our piggybacking functions. First piggyback is function of A1, A2, A3. Second is a function of A4, A5, A6. And third is a function of A7, A8, and A9. This code has the same fault tolerance as the 10-4 RS code that we started out with. And the argument goes identical to what we saw in the toy example. That is, suppose we have access to only the last 10 blocks. So the first stripe is free of piggybacks, so identical to the RS code that we started with. So using these 10 bytes, we can recover A1 to A10. Having recovered A1 to A10, we can subtract out the piggybacks that we added in the second stripe. And that leaves the second stripe identical to the RS code that we started out with. So using these 10 bytes, we can recover B1 to B10 as well. Now let's see how recovery happens. Suppose block 1 is to be recovered. We can recover this by downloading data from only blocks 2 to 12, so let's neglect the other blocks. First, we download these 10 bytes. Observe that these are free of piggybacks and hence identical to the RS code. So using these 10 bytes, we can recover B1. Now we have B1 to B10, using which we will subtract out this part from this parity byte, which gives access to the piggyback that we had added, which includes A1 that we want to recover. Now, by downloading A2 and A3 and removing its effect from this piggyback, we recover A1. Thus, we recovered the block by downloading only 13 bytes as opposed to 20 bytes, which would have been required in the RS code that we started out with. The recovery of second and third block also follows in an identical fashion by making use of this piggyback that we added. Blocks 4, 5, and 6 can be recovered by accessing the second piggyback that we added. And blocks 7, 8, and 9 are recovered by accessing the third piggyback that we added. And block 10 is recovered by accessing all the three piggybacks added. And the four parity blocks are recovered in an identical manner as in RS codes, that is by downloading 20 bytes. Thus, these codes, as we saw, does not require any additional storage and maintain the same fault tolerance as RS codes. However, they reduce the amount of download and disk I/O that is required during recovery of single block failures by 30%. And based on our measurements, this translates to reduction of more than 50 terabytes of cross-rack traffic per day in the cluster. In terms of recovery time, in the piggybacked RS codes, we do connect to more number of nodes than in the RS codes during recovery. However, the system is limited by disk and network bandwidth, and hence recovery time is a function of total amount of data that needs to be read and transferred, which the piggyback codes reduce. Hence, we expect the recovery time for single block failures to be faster in piggybacked RS codes than in RS. And we have done preliminary experiments on the cluster which corroborate this. And since the piggybacked RS codes maintain the same fault tolerance but has faster single block recoveries, we expect the code to have higher mean time to data loss than RS. There are many existing studies on availability in the data center and also on comparison of replication and erasure codes in large-scale distributed storage systems. However, our work is different from these works in that our focus is on the increased network traffic due to the increased download that is required during erasure-coded data recovery. And we presented measurements from the Facebook warehouse cluster in production regarding this. Various codes have been proposed to reduce the amount of download and I/O during recovery of RS codes, but many of them require additional storage in order to do this. And codes that do not require additional storage can support only up to 3 parity blocks. However, our solution, which is the alternative to RS, piggybacked RS codes, does not require any additional storage. They maintain the same fault tolerance as RS, and they can support any number of data and any number of parity blocks. And for the number of data and parity blocks where there are existing codes which do not require additional storage to reduce the download, the performance of piggybacked RS codes is as good or better. In summary, erasure codes require higher amount of download and I/O during recovery. We presented measurements from the Facebook warehouse cluster in production regarding the same. We propose piggybacked RS codes as an alternative to RS codes. These codes do not require any additional storage. They maintain the same fault tolerance, but reduce the amount of download and I/O required during single block recoveries by 30%. At UC Berkeley, we are currently implementing piggybacked RS codes in HDFS, and we plan to perform an empirical evaluation of the same. Thanks for your attention, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Great work. I have two quick questions.
Sure.
One about your data. Did you have, do you know the difference between the loss, whether it was available, whether it was a transient failure or a permanent failure for your Facebook data?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we didn't have any data regarding the reasons or whether the same machine came back or any such detail. So that was just a small study that we performed just using the name node locks. So we did not have additional data on that.
Okay, so the second comment I had then was related to that. So if you just had, if you're able to get that or rerun the study,
mm-hmm.
If you just didn't repair for one block loss, mm-hmm. just repair it after it was more than one, how much recovery data that would reduce? You can't answer that now, but it'd be nice to do that.
Right, that is true. Yeah, that's a good point. Just that we were not able to do that due to the artifact of current implementation in HDFS, because the name node is not aware of the erasure coding layer. But that is certainly an option, since erasure codes have higher MTTDL. But the proposed solution would be orthogonal to that approach.
And so you're obviously optimizing for single block recovery, reconstruction, and but did you analyze the CPU utilization required? I know this is an offline operation, but that node probably is doing other work at the same time.
Yeah, so we have not done that measurements yet, but we plan to do that in the evaluation. But a quick answer to that would be is that the operations that we are performing are all linear and always the decoding operation, for example, as in Reed-Solomon. So the additional complexity that is required is not much. It would be just subtracting that additional piggyback
that's
that
an iteration.
We added.
Yeah, it's a very interesting idea. I like it.
Thanks.
But you could have done some, with the 10.4, you could have done a pyramid code without adding any.
Yeah, but the pyramid codes require additional storage.
Not with 10, you could have done a 10.2.2.
Yes, but so then the fault tolerance is much lesser. So these codes are what are, in coding theory parlance, what is called as MDS, maximum distance separable.
Uh-huh.
That is, they provide the maximum fault tolerance for the storage overhead provided.
Uh-huh.
But the pyramid codes do not provide that. They give up on fault tolerance. That is, they require additional storage in order to reduce the download.
Understood, but your analysis shows that most of your failures are one block. So, I mean,
right,
I understand.
Right.
You're correct,
right.
But
right.
It probably would have been good enough.
Okay. Thanks.
Hi, Christian Nguyen from Initial Labs. Interesting work. I had two questions. One was already asked. I'm curious about exactly how what's the percentage of the repair data of the total traffic? You show some absolute numbers, 50 terabytes,
right.
180.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a number for the total traffic because it is hard to measure on the network. So how we measured this was through the recovery processes from that end that we could see how much we can calculate and measure how much data is being transferred across the rack. But
some idea, approximation, like 5%, 10%, 2%?
Actually, I don't have an idea.
Hello. So I was going to ask if, because the parity blocks in one stripe are now computed using some of the data from the previous stripe. Do you expect that to add some extra complexity to the system of any kind or extra resources?
So during encoding, notice that these stripes are within the block.
Yeah.
So the additional complexity now would be that in an RS code, we could have encoded each byte stripe independently. Now you have to encode two byte stripes together. So the complexity, additional complexity is adding that piggyback. So I think the computation-wise, it is not that much, but we have not yet profiled it. And another comment is that in data centers are not limited by computation, whereas they're more limited by system and the disk and network bandwidth. So computation, additional computation in order to reduce that should not be a problem. Thank you very much.